Call the meeting to order. Welcome to the Johnson County Planning and Zoning Commission Public Hearing, April 10, 2017. Introductions, please.
Terry Doms, Newport.
Chris Rarrett, Newport.
Dana Christensen, County Attorney's Office.
Eric Gustafson, Johnson County Public Health.
Nate Mueller, Planning, Development, Sustainability.
Julia Dodds, Planning, Development, and Sustainability.
Sandy Siler, Portland.
Mike Parker, Newport. We will approve the agenda. Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Could I have a motion to approve the March 13th, 2017 minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Zoning applications pending. Application 27011, Linda Lovick, requesting to rezone 11 acres from C commercial to R residential.
Thank you. So this property is located on the south side of Herbert Hoover Highway southeast, directly adjacent to the city of Iowa City city limits. And you can see on the map here, this is between the Herbert Hoover interchange and Lee Scott Boulevard and Rochester Street intersections on the northeast side of Iowa City. The property does span 11 acres running back from the road. And the purpose is to rezone to residential to allow for a three-lot subdivision to split the existing house onto a single lot, create a new buildable lot for a house in the future, and then leave the remainder as undeveloped residential ground to potentially be developed once annexed into the city at some point in the future. So here's a closer look at the rezoning of the area. Again, the solid purple, or it's kind of a blue for the audience seeing the big screen there. That is incorporated city limits. The yellow is residential zoning county ground, and then a little bit of pink, the box highlighted, and just a little bit off to the west there, right along the other side of city limits, is also zoned commercial. So there's two just little pockets of commercial in an otherwise residential neighborhood in this area. County engineers report the property has existing access under Herbert Hoover Highway southeast. No new accesses are proposed at this time. Any improvements to this existing access or new accesses proposed in the future will need to be permitted and approved by the Secondary Roads Department. This is within the review area of City of Iowa City, and they voted to recommend approval subject to a conditional zoning agreement, which was prepared by city and county staff. And that agreement just outlined that the city has full review of any future subdivision of this property, and the applicant also agrees to certain voluntary annexation restrictions based on when neighbors voluntarily annex into the city. Health Department.
The existing property does have a septic system on site that is not in violation of our current regulations. The applicant will be required to obtain wastewater permits to any new or proposed dwellings in the future. They have a existing well at this time that they're using for the property on site. No abandoned wells. We have no objections.
Thank you, Eric. So here's a shot of the fringe area division in this part of the county. The purple hash close to the city limits is the Iowa City fringe area that is inside their growth area, and that is the area that they project for annexation in the near to intermediate term, so they have a little more review over those areas. Then the green hash further out is the area B outside the growth area. According to our land use plans, being located within the fringe area, within the growth area of the fringe area with Iowa City, our agreement states that zoning changes shall be consistent with both the city's growth and land use plans and the county's growth plans. Subdivisions must meet city rural design standards, and any subdivisions approved prior to annexation must maintain 50% open space. That last provision is not being considered here because this is just a rezoning request. So because the area is predominantly residential, both in zoning and in use, both inside the county and inside the city, the growth plans for the city and the county both call for this area to be residential in nature. Herbert Hoover Highway is a paved surface road that should be able to handle any additional traffic that will be generated by future residential development of the site. And rezoning to residential will keep any future uses developed under county regulation from being in conflict with the city's residential growth plans in that area. So in conclusion, the street network can handle the excess traffic capacity from rezoning this property. The city council has recommended approval subject to the applicant entering into a conditional zoning agreement. And planning staff also recommends approval subject to the conditions contained in the county in the conditional zoning agreement prepared by staff.
Would anyone like to speak on this?
Scott Ritter with Hartford Consultants. Do you have any questions?
Has the applicant agreed to this conditional zoning agreement?
She hasn't seen it yet, but I'm sure she will. We've been in contact with, we had meetings with Iowa City, and they said it's coming. I just got this thing the last week, and I haven't shown her yet. She's wanting to do this, so. And she's aware that the city has issues. Eric, was there a permit on file for this subject?
As far as I've been provided from Dan, yeah, there was an existing septic system for the existing home.
Can you send that to me?
Certainly can.
All right.
The driveway in the northeast corner, it looks like you're splitting it off. Is that what's?
The drive up the northeast corner is a substation.
Oh, okay.
What sort of substation?
Like Lynn County RDC here?
No, it's communications.
So that will maintain its separate, you're going to split that off?
We'll describe it around.
So it sounded like that had wished to split off a lot for her son to build a house?
Yes, and then the rest will.
Does that also have to go through this conditional zoning?
Yes, so we'll meet with the city and see how they want.
So they couldn't just put it anywhere?
No.
Or cut out the lot anywhere on the right acres?
Well, there's streets and stuff. Platted on each side, on one side that would like.
Well, that's what I was looking at, but the streets are already stubbed off.
Yep, and then we'd stay north of that street.
So if I can give a little explanation here, the fringe area agreement allows the city to comment on subdivisions within the growth area. The language of the conditional zoning agreement gives them explicit review authority, so they can outright deny a subdivision design when it comes before that. And that was part of the agreement that they wanted.
Okay, I guess that's where it was dancing around.
Getting around.
Yeah. So the city made sure of that, and then the annexation language says that when the neighboring properties voluntarily annex into the city, this property owner will voluntarily annex as well. So that way she won't be encouraged to hold out for whatever reason.
The reason they're not annexing now is the city put a number of things that they wanted done, and they were to cost a lot of money. So we're going to stay with the county here.
Thank you.
Take that.
I move to approve application 27011.
Do you want to add?
And we post.
Conditional zoning agreement.
Oh, subject to the conditional zoning agreement. Who's drafting that?
The city or?
It's already been drafted and reviewed by the city and county's attorney's offices.
And approved.
Yep.
Go
ahead. I second that.
Roll call.
Doms?
Yes.
Rarick?
Yes.
Style?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. Zoning applications for hearing. Application 27054, Kevin Kelly, requesting to rezone 1.26 acres from A agriculture to R residential.
Thank you. So this request came in last month at the middle deadline, but there was a delay in paying the fee to the health department, and Because of that, we have limited time to do our review, and because there are some outstanding issues with the septic system that need to be resolved, we would like to recommend deferral for 30 days and address this next month. And if you wish, Eric can give you some of those issues on the outstanding septic system as he knows it.
So from what I understand, the applicant doesn't have a septic system on file with us, but does report to have a septic system on location. Our employee working on this has asked for documentation of that septic system on site, asking that, you know, it be uncovered and shown that it's not illegally discharging. And so we haven't received that documentation yet.
Subdivision application.
So, I guess we do need some action by the board here. We're requesting deferral. Our ordinance allows the zoning commission to defer 1 month and decide next month, or I believe the applicant is in the audience and he could offer a voluntary deferral as well if you wanted.
Okay.
So you can still take comments. This is a public hearing too.
Would anyone like to speak on this application?
No.
State your name.
Lori Wilkes.
And I'm Kevin Kelly. And yes, we bought the property in 2006. 2008.
Before the contingency for septic tank was put into place, we had no reason to believe that we were represented as not having septic, since it has been a residence for 40 years. We have not gotten clear guidelines as to deadlines, and we've been asked without being shown reordinances that would require us to do so, why we've paid almost $500 at this point for a standard rezoning. So if you...
Are you questioning the public health?
Well, I'm just kind of questioning what the ordinances are. We haven't had that made clear in writing to us.
You didn't hire a consultant?
We went in to, should we? Thank you. Okay.
You probably wouldn't, maybe out of line, but you wouldn't be standing up here asking these questions if you hired a consultant.
Well, we went and had a brief session with a lawyer who gave us some guidance.
Yeah, an engineering consultant.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. The only thing I just want to, maybe I can hand this to public health. Documents there.
And what am I looking at here?
You're looking at proof that there is a septic tank, and those are dates and times when work was done on the septic tank, when it was empty and there was some repair done on it. The thing that I was asked originally, after I filed from public health, it was like maybe 2 weeks later, is that they wanted to prove that there was a septic tank. So that's the only thing they asked us.
I think what Jason was looking for was not only septic tank information, but additional information on the secondary treatment unit that would be behind that. That's going to identify whether it's a discharging system or not. And I think that's the information he was requesting.
Okay. And then could you give us more direction on who we would talk to get us that information? I mean, we went to the septic people that did the work.
You know, you can certainly hire any septic professional that would be able to uncover that secondary treatment. And what we're looking for is, you know, that it's not connected to a field tile or possibly, you know, just outletted to the ditch. We're looking for a closed system on that septic system.
Would we be required in doing this to update our septic system to be in coordination with the ordinance that came in after we purchased, or are we going to be okay with what we have?
Yeah, our internal policy is that you have to have a septic system up to current standards to be able to do rezoning. And so we would, you know, defer to that if you did find out that it was illegally discharging.
And would we be okay? I've noticed on website that there is some low cost loans available for.
Yeah, NRCS, you can go up there. Kate Jeannie, talk to her and they can help you. But do you understand what we're saying when the septic can't be going back into the field?
Absolutely,
okay.
And I don't think I could have stood to have lived there
okay.
with that kind of stench.
Yeah.
So, and there has not been.
So
yeah.
And we're kind of in a difficult position. We can't tell you who, hey, you should call this person.
Right.
But, yeah, there's certainly septic contractors that can.
So let me just put this out here. So the Board of Supervisors is going to decide on this rezoning. They take into account several items. One, the basis of the application. Two, the health department's rules and regulations. This is a rezoning, not a subdivision. So that kind of ministerial overview of check the boxes, the septic completed, is your road completed, do you meet setbacks, all that. That doesn't really so much apply here, but staff is not going to get behind rezoning your property and I think make a positive recommendation to the Board of Supervisors if your septic system is not proven to be functioning properly within all standards by the health department. So I think that's sort of the issue at hand. You still go forward, but the Board of Supervisors is probably likely, I can't speak for them, but I think that you would probably have some issues getting it approved if you have a failing septic, because that's generally the same standard that we hold everybody. And I know that clean water and functioning septics is something that's very important to the Board of Supervisors.
Well,
so,
as it is to us and our neighborhood.
So I think that's where the issue is. So I think, in my experience, I think it would probably be best if you were to request a deferral of this application and get the septic system in order before going forward.
Will we receive any kind of written notification? There was something about us being late, and most of it's just been phone calls and very loose. We didn't receive any kind of written notice of when a deadline would be, and maybe that's not part of what normally goes on.
I think she's talking about your deadline, Eric, for fees, but I think that all our, you paid the fees required of PDS for your application, but I don't know what the health department's processes are.
Yeah, our process is, you know, we need to receive fee before the hearing, but documentation on that secondary treatment was also requested before the hearing, and so that's what we were looking for, and I can certainly ask Jason to provide you with some written requests on what he's looking for.
Absolutely, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're requesting a deferral?
Please.
30 days, did she say?
30 days, good. Yeah, we can do it.
Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? That's just a
step up, please.
Yeah, state your name.
My name is Laura Wexmeyer, and I'm their neighbor. So we did some work on our property. We had to get a new permit, and this was 3 years ago.
What kind of work?
We completely tore our house down and rebuilt it.
Okay.
We did not update our septic, and we were not rezoned.
You may not have needed to update your septic, so you filed for a building permit, I'm assuming?
Right.
Okay. I'm not familiar with your project. There's a lot going on in the county, but the health department, they do a review of all septic systems for all new single-family housing permits.
Right.
So I'm assuming the health department, they did what they needed to do and they were satisfied. They checked the box and we issued the permit.
So, and how was it not rezoned, though? Because if we were agricultural and we, you know, because we fall into that guideline, we're in the 60s.
You're legal non-conforming use.
Right.
So that means that you have the right to continue to use that property residentially.
But why wouldn't we have been, like, because it is a residential property, we're not an 80-acre farm. We're agricultural, but we're not an 80-acre farm. And so when we tore a house down and rebuilt it, we're understanding that we're not whole.
So does this of your property, or are we talking about the county rezoning?
I mean, and I just need to understand, because for me, when you tear your house down and you rebuild it, you kind of think you're going to be up to par with whatever needed to be done for the county. And it says on the county website, if you do any changes or any modifications to your property and you pull a permit, you're going to have to abide by all the current standards, mm-hmm. and you're going to be treated as if all of those things are that way. That's what it says on the website.
Fine. Your property is fine as far as I know, but I think we need to probably keep it to the topic of Kelly.
We can have a sand and gravel plant 50 feet from our backyard. That's the challenge. We're not fine.
What's on that application tonight, what's on the agenda tonight, is the Kelly property. And we've studied the Kelly property. And I was a consultant for 7-8 years. And I can tell you, every single piece of property is unique.
Right.
So in order for Josh to really answer those questions, you should come in and talk to Josh.
I have, and I haven't gotten answers.
Because this is not...
And I understand that, but I haven't gotten the answers. And that's my challenge, is we tore a house down and rebuilt it, and we're not whole, and now I can have, I'm just a piece of agricultural land.
So what is your question?
Yeah. Well, and my question is, if the county says you have to follow all these guidelines, then when you pull a permit, when you actually hire a contractor, they pull a permit, you do all of those things, whose responsibility is it to make sure your property is put back together whole and not half?
I'm going to have to object. You are not on the agenda.
But he is.
But you are not on the agenda, and you are talking about another specific situation.
I understand.
So I think this needs to be taken.
Okay, so where
outside.
Do I get, but what I'd like to know is, where do I get clarification? And I understand that, but we need clarification. And I've gone in to talk to Josh, and I don't have clarification. And my property isn't whole. And whose property, whose responsibility is it to tell me I need a new septic and to tell me that I need to get rezoned?
So if you want, you can call tomorrow. We're open between 8 and 4:30, and I can answer your questions, or someone other, Nate or Mitch, they can answer your questions as well. So.
Okay.
And sometimes I can tell you as a consultant, sometimes I call different cities, and I might call somebody on one day, and I'm not getting what I want, and I'll talk to somebody else, and okay. It's just maybe a language barrier between two individuals, but maybe tomorrow call Nate or call Mitch, and I'm sure I'll be able to help you. So, I'm sorry we couldn't help you.
No, and I understand that. I appreciate all of this. It's just it's difficult because we're not able to get answers, and I think that's our biggest challenge. Is we're trying to do our very best with what we've been given, and. When their rules are out there, we're just assuming everybody's treating everybody the same, and we're expected to do all of the things we need to do, and then we find out, none of these things have happened to our property, and now it's our fault that we're not zoned properly? I mean, I don't understand that. That's where I'm just challenged. How is it my fault that I wasn't zoned? I didn't know. It's my, I don't have the right septic. Didn't know that. So, I mean, those are my challenges.
Thank
you. I have a house that's 3 years old.
Subdivision application, would we have to take any on the deferral? Do we need to take an action on the deferral?
I think
just accept the deferral.
Okay. Yeah, applicant requested, so we don't need to take it.
Subdivision applications pending. Bob Mitchell Construction, signed by Bob Mitchell, requesting preliminary plat approval of Westcott Second Edition.
So this application has been on our agenda for a while. They've been trying to sort out some stormwater and access issues with the city of Iowa City. That is going to be on the city P&Z agenda this week, and then on the city council's agenda by the end of the month. So they should be back ready for hearings before this board in May. So they have requested a 1-month deferral.
Okay. subdivision application for hearing, application 27055, Brian Ulrich requesting final preliminary plat, final plat approval of McCune Second Subdivision.
So this request is a final plat, which follows a preliminary plat that the commission heard in February. The property is located on the east side of Bolton Avenue, just northwest of the village of Sutliff, in the northeast part of the county. And the purpose is to divide a single lot into one residential lot and three agricultural outlots. Because they crossed that four lot threshold, this was handled as a preliminary and final plat in two separate hearings instead of combined. So here's a look at how the property currently exists. It was platted in the 90s as a lot with a split zoning package. So there's a 2-acre residential zoning package, and the remainder of the lot is agricultural. The applicants are proposing to subdivide so that lot one contains the zoning package, and then outlots A, B, and C will remain agricultural and will be transferred, either held with lot one or transferred to surrounding farmers as agricultural use lots. The proposed subdivision is located in the rural agricultural area. With this subdivision, all parcels in the property will contain a single zoning classification as required by our zoning ordinance, and we are not creating any new non-agricultural or residential building parcels. And just a little bit of history, the existing home was built in 1990, the zoning package was created in 96, and the subdivision was platted in 97, which was all prior to our current set of regulations. Again, here's a shot of outlots A, B, and C. You can see outlot C on the south is an almost entirely crop ground. Outlot A to the north has two little pieces of crop ground with some timber in the middle, and then outlot B is entirely timber and kind of what we consider open yard, not quite pasture, but kind of grass and maintained area. The applicant is proposing to hold outlot B with lot one and transfer the other two outlots for agricultural use. There are proposed accesses. The proposed subdivision accesses Vulcan Avenue by an existing access, and there's an access easement over outlot B to serve lot one. The other two agricultural outlots are served by existing field accesses. The PDS director elected to waive both sensitive areas and stormwater, as the buildable lot is already built out, and the other outlots will be for ag use only, so they're not going to be subject to large-scale residential development. County engineer had no objections. Health department.
The property does have an existing septic system on it, permit number 3320. It does have an existing private well, 2090899. No abandoned wells on the property, no objections.
So just a final note, the applicants have legal documents due with this plat since it will officially create the lots, and staff is still waiting to receive the consent of mortgagee. Because that's a document that is outside the applicant's control, they have to wait on the bank to get them that document. We're going to recommend a 1-month deferral until all those legal documents can be provided.
What's the attorney?
Matt Hecton from one of the eight firms.
Okay.
Could I ask a quick question, Eric? When there's an existing septic system with a permitted number, do you actually go out and inspect it to make sure it's standards?
Yeah, we do a site visit and walk those septic systems to make sure that they're non-discharging to the surface.
Proposed amendments to the Johnson County Unified Development Ordinance. An ordinance amending the Johnson County Unified Development Ordinance to permit solar energy systems as an accessory used in all zoning districts.
So this is a pretty straightforward amendment request. Through department interpretation, we have always allowed ground and roof mounted solar panels and solar arrays as a by right accessory use or structure in all zoning districts. The county is currently pursuing a SolSmart community designation from a national solar energy advocacy group, I guess you would call them. And one of their requests to help our application was to codify this use in the actual text of the ordinance so that a future administrator who, for whatever reason, would be anti-solar couldn't come in and say that it's a disallowed use. So this ordinance will basically just formalize an office interpretation that is already in place and is already being executed on a pretty much monthly basis. The building inspector said we get between 15 and 25 solar installations a year. And then that's a mix of both roof mounted on existing structures and separate ground mounted structures. So the text of the ordinance is very simple. It just adds a couple of definitions and then the accessory use in all the appropriate zoning districts.
The accessory use, so that means there has to be a primary
right.
use.
So in a residential.
Like ag or.
Right, in a residential district, you have to have a residence before you can build an accessory structure. So mm-hmm. someone could use this to just build a utility scale solar facility out.
In like a solar farm.
Right. That would be considered a utility and be handled differently.
So what this means also then is that a neighbor could not object to someone wishing to install either on the roof or on the ground a solar system.
Well, they could always object, but there wouldn't really be a mechanism for that to stop a building permit since it's a listed use.
So could you put like on this the ultra one that we just went over, could you put a solar arrays on an outlot if the outlot's associated with a residential lot?
That'd be a case by case review. We'd have to sit down and get it as staff.
Do I have a motion?
Well, I'm pleased to see this amendment. It looks like Johnson County is probably on, hopefully, a leader in addressing solar use. So I'm happy to see this.
I am too. I'm curious. Have there been many objections by neighbors or
not that
not
I know
really?
Of.
Good.
So what are we looking for?
We just need a motion to, I guess, recommend approval of the ordinance amendment to the supervisors.
I move to recommend approval for this ordinance amending the Unified Development Ordinance.
Second. Roll call.
Rory?
Yes.
Style?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. Deferred applications. Bill Crippen requesting preliminary and final plat approval of Crippen Fourth Subdivision.
This one's been deferred indefinitely as the applicant needs to install a septic system before it can move forward. And they have yet to do that.
Any discussion?
Well, yes. I saw there was a request or a notice of a joint meeting coming up between the Board of Supervisors and PNC.
Yes,
we
mentioned.
Would you review what's going to happen and when, and just some of the details of that
yeah.
so we can start to get down
so, this is part of our comprehensive plan update. It's June 8th. It's going to be whatever date our regular June meeting will be this body. We're going to have a presentation from our planning consultants, which is JDO out of Omaha, and they're going to kind of give a midpoint check-in update to like a joint session of the Zoning Commission and the Board of Supervisors.
Will it be here?
It'll probably be across the street since we'll need 10 spots and then however much the public wants to attend. It's going to be purely informational, so they'll be presenting what we've done so far, what they've found, and then sort of the direction the plan is heading, given feedback from the advisory committee and other staff and board review of draft plans. There won't really be any decision-making or content discussions at that meeting that I'm aware of, but it'll be just kind of more for your information as the body that will eventually make a recommendation on that comp plan to the supervisors.
That's and 4:30 instead of 5:30.
It's going to be earlier than this meeting because we're still going to have a regular public hearing of this body, hopefully at 5:30. As we get closer, we'll figure out how long the consultants want to have. We're thinking either 4 or 4:30 is a start time, but we'll make sure we know that.
And that's on Thursday, June 8th.
It'll be maybe it's Monday the 12th. It's whatever the regular June meeting would be. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, Monday the
12th.
I think we had originally said the 8th because we were going to do a supervisor's meeting. So it makes more sense with this body. So. It's, yeah, I think the 12th sounds like, whatever the second Monday in June is.
It's the 12th.
I apologize for that.
What are we calling that meeting?
Joint session for comp plan.
You need a journal?
Here we go.